Welcome to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast, where we discuss various dog training topics to help you become the best leader for your dog. Marvin Pierce has over 20 years of experience with obedience training for dogs located in the Sherwood, Oregon area. Offering private lessons and group clinics, the dog teacher has been able to change the lives of dog owners by helping them develop and maintain an obedient dog. For more information, contact us at marvinpiercedogteacher.com.
Good morning.
I just realized the round pen clock is off.
Bill surprised me. It gets slow once in a while. The one in the kilns does too because they're battery operated.
Yeah.
They don't keep up with the real world.
Yeah.
So, but we've been slaving out here putting dog beds together. Bianca got a new style. Yeah, she's been supervising.
Yeah, I'm really excited to show you guys the new beds.
Yeah. They're not near as indestructible as the canine ballistics, but for somebody who just wants a training bed, it'd be super good or a place.
And their
bed,
dogs,
you know,
don't destroy things.
Yeah. Ours, we leave them in there and leave. So some of them, they do tear ours up too, but not near as bad as they do the other styles. So, but these are really nice bed, and like Bianca said, you can get all kinds of stuff for them, I guess. But what are we going to talk about today, Bianca? We talk about beautiful weather.
You know, I want to talk about something a little funky.
Something fun and funky?
I always want to talk about something funky.
What is funky in your world?
I think we should talk about if you have a dog that you've worked really hard to rehab, or you've worked with a trainer and the trainer's got you on the right track, and you have this dog that used to be really bad. I don't think you should treat it like it's bad, but I think that you should have caution and honor the dog's history, kind of, you know?
I always say that with people. Don't go right back home and throw it back out in the fire, you know?
Yeah.
And that's sometimes what people want to do. They see their dogs doing so good here.
Yeah.
And they see them doing so good with us in town around a pack of dogs.
Yeah.
They want to go home and take them right back out where there's 99 bad dogs running around barking and lunging and off leash. And
whether you do those things too soon, like let's pick out an example. Let's say you have a dog that's dog-to-dog aggressive. And it's been in dog fights and it comes here. And we train it, get it back with dogs, and it does much better. And then you come for your lessons, and the dog's doing good with you present as well. When you go home, you should really have some guidance on what dogs you take that dog out with to continue that dog either building its confidence or not allowing it to take over and be overly dominant or whatever you want to call it. But you shouldn't just go home and think this dog was a dog fighter, then it went to Marvin's and now it's not dog fighting, so now I can take it out with the 4-month-old puppy and let it get punched out around by a 4-month-old puppy.
If we talk about it, or I do a lot with Scout, you know, it took you a year and a half or so, 2 years to get really comfortable with him around any dog, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Even ornery dogs, like we did that video the other day, that little male pup being really rude to him. And Scout handled it, where a year and a half ago, he would probably kill that pup.
Yeah.
I mean, people just, like you said, they don't understand. And, you know, someone the other day said they can't even hardly walk their dog where they live because there's so many bad dogs on leash and off leash. He said the bad dogs, they'll just run right up to your dog and start shit. And I don't know how the city people handle it. If you're just in that kind of neighborhood where your dogs are just constantly approached by
bad dogs and bad people. We used to put our dogs in the car and drive them somewhere else to walk them.
Right. And I mean, I think that's, but you know, a lot of these people I feel maybe that live in Portland, they might not even have cars.
Yeah, true.
They ride bicycles to work.
They Uber and
take a bus and train. And so it's really difficult for them. And I feel sometimes you got to justify having a dog in that environment, you know?
Yeah.
How much stress is it going to be on you every day, and how much stress is going to be on the dog? And a lot of the dogs we get, I don't know that maybe half the dogs we get are close to it are people who live in their own house, you know? So they have a backyard, and they can take the dog out in the backyard and exercise it, or, you know, they can haul their dog to somewhere else. And you see, we see a lot of dogs go to different places we've been to that people bring them there just to get them exercised, to get them away from home, on leash and off leash. And you're supposed to be on leash, you know, but all the people don't follow by those rules. So I think that you got to really look out for what's best for you and your dog, you know. I was down at the gun store a while back, and man, I couldn't believe they got a rack of different stuff for people that walks their dogs to keep dogs from attacking them. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to be walking a dog. You know, you see people walking down the street and get attacked by dogs. And I seen that one video where the people were trail riding or something, and this pit bull attacked their horse, you know. And not say other dogs won't, because a lot of dogs will. I mean, a lot of the cattle bred dogs too. And the owner couldn't get his dog off. He finally got a hold of it after a while and got his dog away from the horse. But that's what happens to these dogs that we rehab. You know, not all of them. Majority of the people really follow through with what we recommend, you know. But when you get that dog, like you said, really doing good and you go home, you want to keep it out of those problem areas for a little while until you get confidence up in you and your dog, you know, like we have.
Yeah. And you have to not let your human emotion take over, because so many of the people that make the mistake are putting human emotions on their dog like it's a kid that doesn't have friends. So then they're like, oh, I really want my dog to have some friends. Maybe I'll just try it with this neighbor dog. Or I really want my dog to get to go play with dogs, so I'm going to take it to a dog park. Or I really want my dog to go play with dogs, so I'm going to do all these things to try and appease a human emotion. It's not necessarily even a need of the dog.
That's the same thing, though, with the people sitting around petting their dogs all the time.
Right.
The dogs normally don't need that much affection. The human needs to give that much affection.
Right.
And then they get the dog addicted to it, you know, and it's the same thing with a lot of these dogs that, I mean, we've got people that bring dogs here for a dog day thing, you know, drop them off more and pick them up me, and I don't even think they take them out to other people's dogs and let them play.
And that's fine.
I think they're just at home out and going for walks, and then they come up here once every week or so and go out and play with a pack of dogs. And
safely.
Yeah, so it's a lot of, you're way better off with that approach than you are with taking them out there and letting them play with Joe Bob's dog that ain't good, you know.
Go ahead.
The little male dog that we had out here the other day that was jumping on Scout and stuff, that's a prime example of what would get your rehab dog in trouble.
Yeah.
Even though it's a year and a half old puppy, he's intact. Yeah. He didn't want to be rude. He didn't want to be mean. He's just being a puppy that hasn't been taught better, you know. And people say, let your dog put him in place. I totally 100% disagree with that just because of the fact that you never know what this other dog is that he's approaching. And that's what gets us in trouble with people who, let's say you got a dog that's been in dog fights and you bring it here and get it fixed and you take it home and you let that dog, like that puppy, run up there and just pounce on him.
Right.
You got a better chance that he's going to fight.
Right.
With that person. Now, if me or you was handling him, he probably wouldn't. We could probably control it and get the other dog away. But
you have to have a lot of experience in what to watch for. There's some people that are like, oh, tails, they're roughhousing, they're having so much fun. When one is like, hey, 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 and the other one's like, dude, knock it off, knock it off, knock it off, and then you have a fight.
One of the worst dog bites I got, dog was wagging his tail, so excited to see me, and he's so excited to see me just so he could have lunch, I think. So.
You can't read body language on one item. It's like a collection of things that you recognize and circumstances.
And some people say they can just read dogs, you know. They're just way better than me if they can read every dog and figure them out. I mean, I'm proud for them. But I think that when you rehab a dog, when you go home, you really have to follow what we recommend, you know, keep the dog off the couches, the beds, you know, for majority of the time. Depending on your dog, you know, we had a dog here a while back that was like 6 years old, and he was really good. They just couldn't catch him, right? And it's like, shit, just go back home and go back to what you're doing. You can just catch your dog now if he's not getting in trouble and if he's staying out of trouble. But if your dog's resource guard.
That dog didn't have to be kicked off the couch or anything.
Because he just didn't get in trouble.
He didn't have a bad attitude at all.
So if you have that dog, then that's great. But if you got that dog that wants to resource guard you and bite the husband for getting close to you and the neighbors and friends and cousins and... then you got to go to a whole lot more extreme on training.
It's not that we want anyone to go home scared. We just want you to honor their history.
Yeah,
and
for
not
sure.
Treat them like they've never had problems.
And majority of the time, you know, it's like Zion. That dog's so cool now, and he wasn't so cool. He was just not good at all. He was just, I won't say not good at all. He just stayed in trouble.
He just wasn't stable.
Yeah, and now he's just a cool dog. We take him out with packs. I've seen the owners took him camping and had a great time with him. And but I feel they didn't go home and just throw him back out and get him in trouble.
Totally.
You know, she really followed through with what we recommended. And,
unfortunately, sometimes it takes having invested in multiple programs before, not saying this about Zion, but there's some examples where you've paid one trainer, then you pay another trainer, and then you pay another trainer, and on the final one you're like, I really gotta listen this time.
And sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes it's not the trainers that you went to, it's the trainers communicating with the owner, you know. And the owner's accepting it. And I tell people straight up, if you're not really going to listen to us and follow through with our programs and let us teach you, then you could just mail us the money and there ain't no need even coming in, you know.
But if you're working with a trainer that's teaching you how to do things with your dog, walk on the leash, sit down, stay, but they're not addressing any relationship stuff and any unhealth or toxicity in your relationship with your dog, there are 99% of customers that we meet, we have to have hard conversations of reality of an unhealthy relationship.
And I've got better at it, I've been told.
Yeah.
I don't hurt as many feelings as bad. I probably hurt just as many people's feelings, just not as bad as I did in the past. So I think
working
that
on your delivery.
I'm trying to get better. I'm in training people. Not going good, but it's going. Brett, we got any questions?
Yeah, you got Suzanne Sears. She says, good
morning.
Hi,
Suzanne.
Morning.
I miss having her around.
Yeah. Now we got concrete and no dirt.
I know. She'd be so happy.
She probably wouldn't have as many brown paw prints on her. So,
Rick, hey, did you tell Suzanne you got a doodle?
No, I didn't. I was keeping that secret, Bianca. It won't be long till we'll be laying in here on a bar or something while we're
going
to
get some
pie. We just don't have a name for him yet.
I'm calling him Cash.
Yeah, I don't like that name. I didn't like it to start with, but
I just have to find something that I would like better than that in order to change it.
Yeah, we'll figure out something.
Yeah.
Keep scooting further and further.
I sit at this table for giants, and my legs dangle off, and then
I'm gonna build a little kitty bar.
My feet go numb.
Hey, I'm gonna have a bar like this, Brett, and then it's gonna drop down to like a foot off the ground.
You might as well.
It's a good idea.
So,
it's not like if you switch employees, they're going to fit at this table either.
Yeah. You know, the only one who complains, is you.
I'm the only one who does Facebook Live and podcasts.
Well, the rest of them just sit around and eat. Well, I guess that's different. They're feeding their stomach. They're not worried about their feet. I
want to add one thing to the subject we were talking about before we go somewhere else.
Okay.
I also think you should kind of appreciate what you have when you bring home a puppy. So if you bring home a puppy that's like let's take, this is maybe not the best example, but Emery and Bunker. They're litter mates, right?
That's what I was told.
Emery is batshit crazy. She's 100 miles an hour, hyper, and she really likes to work. Like, you can just swing through obedience commands with her. Bunker wants to sit on the couch.
Yeah.
So if you bring home Emery, and you tried to make Emery snuggle on the couch with you for 4 hours, she'll probably bite you.
Yeah, a good chance.
Because she's just like, gotta go do something. So you need to train on her, take her on a walk, do some fun stuff. Bunker, you could probably hang out on the couch with her for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you could take her for a walk and she'd be happy. But I think if you bring home a puppy that is on the way nervous side.
Hyper, not nervous, hyper.
Well, I'm not saying Emery's on the nervous side. I'm just trying to show like there's this wide spectrum of what you get. But
like,
some of them are nervous, not any of the ones we have right now. Like the Doberman. She was really nervous. So every person I had interact with her, I didn't let anybody come for her face and try to pet her. I was like, hey, this dog's pretty nervous. Can you just take her for a walk? And I handed him the leash. Let her sniff you. Let her check you out.
Yeah.
And appreciate that she is a little nervous. I'm not going to treat her like an infant baby that can't
grow. You don't want to do that with a heeler. They'll bite him on the heel.
Yeah. I'm not a puppy. But even with puppies, I think you have to kind of appreciate what you go home with. And you need to try and help them the best that you can. Not isolate them, not avoid.
Remember
things,
how bad Emery was when she got here? Now she's cool. Now you got to go find her. Before she just screamed, everybody walked by, hey, come break me out of here and let's go play.
And she didn't want broken out for hugs and kisses. She wanted to go
chase
cattle up the mountain.
Yeah, she was really a busy puppy, and now she's learning to be cool.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
With Bunker's lesson yesterday, we'd done a lesson for like 15 minutes or something, you know. And then he was tired. He just wanted to lay down our seat and take a nap. And so I had him put him on Bear's deal. Lay down and went to sleep while we was training on.
She's chill.
Yeah, she just didn't care. And they got her up and went and walked her some more. And she's ready to go after about 10 minutes of a rest. But she needed a little nap. She's not one of those.
I can place her with no leash and have three other dogs in there. And she's the last one to make a mistake. She just like lays down and says, okay, I'll just take a nap.
I think that it's really, like you said, it's hard for the people to understand. And for me, you know, if we're done with this subject, we'll go on to another one.
Yeah.
Here in the last week and a half, we've had like, I don't know, five or six big breed dogs, Huskies.
Chow mix.
Yeah, Husky, German Shepherd Chows, all kinds of dogs that are aggressive.
Or rough coat collie.
Border collies that's bit people and been in dog fights. And they weren't really in dog arguments. I mean, in the dog biting people, they drew blood, and a few of them did. And yesterday, even with, what's her name, the Doodle? Not Bunker's buddy. Housemate,
Divot.
I was showing the people how to make Divot walk away from them. Because Divot's already a little bit jealous of Bunker.
She's for like, sure,
hey,
yeah.
I got to have the attention, not the puppy.
Yeah, she's like, we have one couch.
Yeah, so I was showing them how to make this dog walk away from them, you know. And to go, I mean, his command for me is just go. And I've always, I don't know, 20-some years I've done it with my cow dogs. Because normally with them, they had cow shit on them or whatever, mud. And I didn't want them to come over and climb on the lap. So the ones who would just come to me, I would just tell them to go and make them go away and lay down or whatever, you know. But any of these dogs, I feel, if you have that command on them from a puppy to leave you alone, it saves a lot of problems later in life with them because you can always send them away from you. And majority, not all, but majority of the dogs, it seems like they have more of a tendency to bite someone or get in a dog fight whenever that person or that strange dog comes up to that human. Even out here on the playground, you know, the owner's client's dog will be on the other side of the playground, but I'll have the client to call Mario or Tilly or Bear or somebody to pet him. Man, here comes that owner's dog, cuts right in front and says, no, you got to pet me. You can't pet them.
Yeah, right away.
So if you've got that command to go, it makes it a lot easier. And somebody was talking the other day about their dog's going to be really hard to train because you can't catch it. I said, well, does it just glue up to you? No, it runs off. I said, well, that's a whole lot easier to fix than that dog is glued up to you and wants the dog fight and bite everybody gets close to you. And people kind of don't understand that, but it's just for me anyway. It's a fact. I mean, if you got a dog that don't come to you and runs off, stands on the other side of the field. And yesterday we had a dog or day before meet and greet with a dog that eats socks and stuff. And the lady said it was standing there with a sock in its mouth in the hallway, and she's like, come here, and the dog's like, nope, stood there, and she starts to go to it.
Wait, can I make a guess?
Yeah.
A Husky.
Yeah. And she started trying to get the sock, and the dog just swallowed it real quick, so she can't get it.
Yeah, that's such a husky move.
Yeah, and it does it all the time, you know. And people that can't put their collars on their dogs, you know, it's the same thing. And, you know, as the husky eating the sock, it's a game they want to play, you know, and they want to be silly. And it's just like the people who can't get a leash on their dog. They get the leash out when they're puppies. You want to go for a walk? You want to go? You want to go? You want to go? Let's go. Let's go to the park. Let's go. And then it ain't long till you can't get the leash on the dog. And then the dog collar is the same way. But for me, always with the dog collar, it's the same as a leash. You put it on and you take off, you know. And if you put the collars on sometimes and take them back off and don't leave the house, it sure makes a lot of difference. And if you teach your dog to sit there and be good, you know. But the dog aggressive thing is just for us, you know. And it seemed like the same thing when I built the fence. Well, I'd build one style of fence, I'd get 15 people want the same style, and then I'd get another style, you know. So we always have to try to figure out the dog and what's best for the owner. Some people's feelings get hurt a lot more than other people's, you know, so it got to be a lot. And I don't know. It's almost like some people I got to let Bianca deal with because I hurt their feelings.
Some people the other way around.
Yeah. Some people have to. Bianca used to never hurt nobody's feelings, but now she does. So now I have to take some of her people so they don't get upset with her. But it's just really hard for people to understand how so much of the dog aggression comes along, whether it's with a dog or a person walking down the street. But to me, the majority of the time, and not always, because, I mean, you could have a loose leash dog bite somebody if they get too close, but our dog fight. But majority of the time for me, if you could teach that dog to stay on a loose leash and behave, then you don't have near the aggression problem with them, you know?
Right.
If you can just teach your dog to have a loose leash. And for me, and I don't know if Paula's on here with Pie and Talus, you know, what's her name, Kathy, with the other Pie dog,
yeah.
And who else up there done so not good at to find your owner? Bianca.
Blue, which shocked me.
Blue, yeah, with Mickey. Even Scout, you know, and he didn't come right to you, but... And I told the people that, and I told Bianca, these rules, I wasn't even telling the rules until we got there.
Yeah.
And what was so hard on the people is I hauled them out there on a side-by-side.
Yeah.
So their dog couldn't track them.
Yeah.
And all the dogs went to the...
And you put us in a hole.
Yeah. We had to go over a hill and down in a hole.
So we echoed really bad.
But it's just really hard people to understand, but... The biggest thing I got out of that, Bianca, was there was no dog that really behaved. The Pie dog with Kathy, her dog done good. It just stood there, but it didn't lay down and settle, but it didn't drag her around, you know. And Blue with Mickey.
Yeah.
Her dog laid there and settled.
Wait, you just said no dog really behaved.
Except. Pie and Blue.
You don't think any of the other dogs behaved?
My thing is, I'm not talking about you could just control them. I'm talking about lay down and go to sleep and be good. Pie never did, I don't think, and I don't think Talus did. Bo did most of the time, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, I think that's what people are always talking about. What can we train on? And we'll try to do a video on it. It'd be a cool video to show you just to walk up somewhere and have your dog lay down and be good, you know.
Right.
And for me, every dog there done really well as far as manners, you know. There wasn't no dog that was bad. But I think that for me, I always look at something that you can work on and train on and have fun with your dog and make your dog cooler.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I think that's what it was. Scout and Rebel both got pissy when you put them in the crate. But if you notice when they was out of the crate, they behaved.
Yeah.
But they're like, man, I can't be in this crate and all these dogs going and finding people and I got to try.
Well, it's like I haven't trained on it, but for Scout, that's like his sport, you know?
finding mommy.
Hunting for something, yeah.
But it's just, for me, it's fun how much they couldn't hunt.
We were having like a nice Facebook Live, but you just gotta talk shit.
We had this great dog to find owners. I'm glad none of you are back there dying and you needed your dog because he had your phone on his collar. Well, Concho, he went right to Mariah, I think.
Rebel went right past me.
Yeah, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Scout came to you, though, because you got a time.
He did,
you
ended
up like second.
But if I would have called him the second time with better management, then he would have. Came, but I let him go the other direction first.
Might be a good time for me to chime in and do some messages from other people.
Oh. Okay.
Lisa said teaching Divot to go will be used will be so useful to us.
Yes.
We have a new granddaughter, and when she gets a little older, having her be able to tell dogs to go will be so good.
It's so great.
It is.
Valerie said, I think go is an excellent command to establish respect and a pack. These dogs would respect their leaders. We need to remember they are hardwired to have a leader.
It is harder on some to get the dog to go than it is to get him to come, because they're like with you all the time and have no problem being with you, but have a hard time being away.
You know, but it don't hurt no one's feelings to call their dog.
It hurts their feelings to tell them to go.
To make them go. Yeah. And then when they make them go, they want to try to raise their voice, go, and instead of just let go and make it just plain command, plain word, not a forceful command, you know.
Right.
You got anything else, Brett?
That's it.
So we're looking for a name for this mutt. This dog.
We're not settled on the name Cash. So if you have a suggestion that I like better than Cash,
you can
put some input.
Bianca's trying to come up with a name. I want a cool, high-dollar, high-class name, you know. Yeah. Bianca wants just a normal old name like Cash. Or
hey, do you want to know what Scout taught him to do last night?
Probably poop in the house.
Dig for gophers.
Oh, that's not good.
Not at all.
No, no. We got to go take care of some gophers, Brett. We got to gas them out. I got the gasser in front of the shop now. Fired it up. It's running. It's ready to go work. So, let's talk about...
Hang on one second. Before we move on to the next subject, I would like to read a comment we got on our recent video on Instagram.
Oh, no.
Amy Haney. Have my dog sit and stay. Maybe have him go to his bed. Tell friend that Sai is in training, and please wait to pet him until he is calm and sitting. P.S. to Marvin and Bianca. Do not quit your day jobs if Hollywood calls.
Don't quit your day job, what?
If Hollywood calls.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Sai is cool. I mean, I have a bad habit of getting dogs and getting rid of them. Bianca has a bad habit of getting dogs and keeping them.
I have a good habit of getting dogs and keeping them. You have a bad habit.
Hey, I share my dogs with people. They were supposed to bring Roxy up too to see us, and they didn't. They said they were going to contact the office and set up a time last weekend to bring her by. But never seen her. You know, I've probably owned and sold, I don't know, a few hundred puppies and dogs in my life. Cow dogs until I started this. And then now we had Callie and got rid of her, and we got Roxy, got rid of her, got Sai, got rid of him,
It doesn't really sound great for you to say we got rid of them, just so you know.
Well, I knew you were going to say that.
Then why did you say it? Why didn't you just fix it before you said it?
Well, I thought maybe you'd be like busy petting a dog and not hear me.
I am always watching.
We didn't get rid of them, we rehomed them. Roxy now probably sleeps on the couch in the bed and eats cheeseburgers and french fries and dog treats. Callie, she's back here because Mariah came back to work for us.
She's here?
No.
Oh.
Mariah works here. So we'll probably see her. And then we got Edith, who the other Mariah works here has now. We see her once in a while. And then Sai. we see him because they come and do walks and stuff with us, so we get to see the dogs. I guess Roxy's probably the only one we don't see.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
And they said they were going to bring her up, and it just ain't happened yet. It's only been a year or so. And then now we have this dog, puppy.
This dog.
Whatever his name is. His name, right? Him?
Yeah. He's dying to come sit in your lap.
Yeah, he is. He'll probably
ask, what's a high dollar name, Irvin?
I don't know.
That's a good question, Valerie. Probably one I won't agree with.
It's got to be something cool. Can't be normal, you know. It's got to be something else. Yeah. I'll probably dream one up, and then I'll have to get another dog to put that name on it. Bianca veto it on this one.
Probably.
I'll have to go to shelter and get a dog and change his name or something. Hey, you know, we got a shelter dog here. Well, two of them, Jolie's back after like 112 times. And she, you know, the thing is for me, and I think people misunderstand dog shelters. And I can't speak for no shelter except Newburgh Shelter, because that's the one we deal with the most. You know, we're there all the time and drop off dogs, pick up dogs, and work with some dogs there. And but those dogs have such a good life, you know. They have more structure there a lot of times than they do at home, especially if we're going down there and training with them a lot, you know, because the dogs kind of look forward to seeing us. And they'll almost bark. Well, some of them will bark when I get out of my car down there because they see me and they want to come and hang out, you know. And Jolie's that way. I mean, she's been here for I don't even know how much of her lifetime at shelter.
She spent 6 months.
Yeah, she comes up here and hangs out for a month or two, and then she'll go to the shelter, and three different people will adopt her and send her back, and then she'll come back up here and hang out a month or two or whatever, you know. But here, this time I was kind of wondering how she was going to be, and shoot, like, what, 2 days after she got here, she started going back out with a pack. And
yeah, it didn't take long.
She just acted like a normal dog, you know.
Getting along with all of us, fine.
I think people sometimes take these dogs and they try to make them something or not, you know.
Yeah.
They try to make them a lap dog, a needy dog, and some of them aren't needy, you know. They like just hanging out with you. And I feel Jolie's kind of that way. I don't know if you could make her a lap dog. You might. But she'd probably pee on your lap.
I don't think it would be good for her.
She'd probably pee on your lap if you tried to, you know, because she gets so wiggly excited. But she's a super cool dog. And then we've got, what's the other shelter dog?
Huck.
Yeah, Huck's here. He's a, looks like a red tick or something. Hound dog. And he's just nervous, scared of the world, but now he's up here with us. He's eating really good, and he goes in and out. And we train on him a little bit, put him out with some dogs and stuff, and he's doing really good. So he's still just, like I said, scared of the world. So I feel if somebody gets him, and if they try to treat him like he's scared of the world, he'll probably be that way his whole life. So we're going to let him hang out up here for a while and take him out in and out with dogs and see if we can get him to like life a lot better, I guess. So, Brett, you got anything on there?
No, we're all up to date right now.
So, Bianca, you got anything else you want to talk about before I leap in the next subject?
Nope.
So, we'll talk about loading your dogs in vehicles. It amazes me how many people I see have to help their dog in vehicles. And some of these people are like 100 years old and their dog's 45 pounds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And their dog's very capable of loading up. The people got them as a puppy, and they let them put their front feet up, and then they help them in the car as a puppy. And then it just escalates from there to where they can't get in the car only their front feet, and then you got to pick them up. And I think that for us anyway, I don't know if we've ever had a dog that we didn't teach to jump in a vehicle that the people were okay with it, you know. We have some dogs that are too big or too overweight, you know, or too little, you know. But if normally, for me, if we can't teach a dog to jump in a vehicle, either the vehicle's too tall, you know, the dog's too old or too overweight. So there's usually a legitimate reason that the dog ain't jumping in the vehicle. So Bianca's done getting mud all over for a while. So I think that that's, for me, a really good thing to train on. And I'm going to touch a little bit about walking outdoors with dogs because we're going to try and make another video on it. Or through gates, you know, if you live on a farm like we do. I always feel that your dog shouldn't bust their door when you open it or a gate. The hardest thing is for dogs and people in doors or gates is the people hold the dogs from going through a door, but once they go through the door, they don't have control of their dog because they got to chew bubble gum and walk at the same time.
Right.
They turn around to close the gate or the door and the dog runs off. So.
Right.
We're going to try to make another video on that if Brett don't forget.
And, if you open your front door and you have to guard the threshold for your dog not to run out, you have some work to do.
You do. But then if your dog goes, will you allow the dog out the door? If you can't stop him and call him right back in, you really got some serious work to do. If your dog has a good enough recall, it doesn't matter what situation you get in, you can get your dog back.
Yes.
But if you don't have that recall, you can't. And here recently, we had somebody that said, some trainers said that you could never teach a husky to recall. And I think when people make those statements, they're just telling it wrong. They should be like, I can't teach a husky to recall, instead of you can't. I can't really tell Brett what he can and can't do. You know, he's the one that kind of knows that.
Well, evidently he can get that puppy to relax in his arms and I can't.
Well, because he ain't sitting there petting on it. You're sitting there petting on it, offering it cheeseburgers and hugs and kisses and
whatever.
Valerie said, you're spot on, Marvin. People can't get a cattle dog or protection dog and then wonder why they don't want to sit in their laps all day.
That's one other thing I'll talk about before we wrap up our Facebook Live, is that Brett and I were just kind of observing this puppy last night. And when I got out of the barn last night, Jody said, Scout has more energy than the puppy. And then we were like, yeah, totally. And he'll be that way till he's 50.
Yeah.
And this puppy, like, wanders around a little bit and then just sits in the yard.
Well, do they not put a lot of time and effort into making these dogs lap dogs?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, people go get a dog that maybe isn't a good choice to be a lap dog.
Yes.
And then they end up with major behavioral problems, where this dog is, like, totally fine. He literally sat on the lawn chair next to Brett yesterday for however long. Just didn't even need pet. They were in separate chairs.
He was sitting in a chair?
Well, it's like a chase lounge thing. Yeah. But he loaded himself up on there, sat down, and just watched the stars with Brett last night. And it's just like more natural for a dog like this to do that than a border collie.
Well, I can't argue with you. I just think that too many people get the wrong dog. And
for what they want.
Well, that, but they don't put the right effort into the wrong dog to make the wrong dog a lot stabler.
Right, right.
Like, well, you even, with Emery right now.
Yeah.
Emery's getting stabler every day.
Right, right.
But I feel if the wrong person got Emery, I don't know how good she would be.
Without training. Yeah, yeah. That'd be tough.
Because she's just full of it. Where Bunker, he's just cool.
She'll outsmart a whole household. Yeah.
You could teach Bunker something, and he's like, okay, I got it. I'm good. And I don't know how this dog's going to do yet. I think it's going to be really cool, but he's really rough with puppies. I tried to let him down with Bunker yesterday. Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Well, maybe I was wrong, but I thought I was there and seen it. Yeah, he played so rough, him and Bunker, both.
I don't think it was Bunker.
Could be, but I thought this dog had a dog's ear in his teeth. Huh. I had witnesses, too, but I don't know if they were watching or not. They were just so happy to have their dogs out here playing. But
well, I'll take them out, and I'll see how they do. Maybe it's because there was no leader in the room.
Might have been. Might have been followers. But I think it's just fun to see the different attitudes with the different puppies. Remember the pup Mariah had?
Yeah.
How wound up it was.
That one was wild.
Yeah. And then it's just, and You can get these puppies, and that's me and Valerie was talking about the other day, is you can get these 8 puppies in a litter, and they can have different attitudes, you know?
Right.
And it's because of the genes, just, you know, some of them will skip 2 or 3 and go back. And are you leaving us?
Mm-hmm.
Are we done?
Well, I have to go.
Oh, well, I guess we're done. So we're going to jump off here. You got any questions or anything, Brett? First?
That's it. We're all caught up, thankfully.
All right. Well, we're going to get off here. Bianca's got to run, so I'm going to go train on some dogs. So thanks, everybody, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast. If you found this information helpful, we suggest following even more of our dog training tips and resources on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher.